Good morning. It is Tuesday, April 9th, 2013, at 9:47 in the morning in Function Room 6 of the International Beijing Hotel. This is the at-large new GTLD Working Group Outreach Evaluation Meeting. Please go ahead and start.
Thank you. This is Avery Doria. Thank you for your patience. I'm going to actually spend a few minutes talking about what we're about, and I know the rest of the team, most of the rest of the group itself isn't here, but they already know this. So this actually gives me a comfortable point to begin. The working group that we're part of is an at-large working group looking at various issues to do with the new GTLD rollout. So basically, this group has several subparts in it. And Heidi, hi. What I'm doing is just starting out explaining to other folks what it is this group is about as everyone else drifts in. So this group has several sub-projects. This is the group that designed the process that was used for ALAC to file objections. This group has been tracking the support applicant program, support applicant review program, the SARP as it's known. And one of our projects is this outreach evaluation and recommendation project. Now, we will be having a full working group meeting that goes through all of our... Oh, and the other thing the group does is basically look at various issues that come up in the GTLD rollout where there may be issues worth discussing and then makes recommendations to ALAC as to whether there's a statement they would like to make or not. So those are the things this group does, and this group will have a full meeting later this week. Tomorrow, I guess, is later this week. And I'm not sure exactly where it is on the schedule, but it is on the schedule, where we'll go through the rest of these, and we'll even go through this somewhat to report. The reason that we scheduled a specific meeting for this one is that one of our projects, the Outreach Evaluation and Recommendation Project, has pretty much fallen behind on its schedule. Okay, yes, our full meeting will be on Wednesday at 4 o'clock, 4 to 5:30, in Function 8AB. So that's when we'll actually be having that. So basically, we have this project where we're trying to evaluate what went wrong with evaluation. And now maybe that's jumping to conclusions. It's of outreach evaluation. So perhaps nothing went wrong, but I think almost all of us start from the assumption that something went wrong with outreach. And by that, we mean not only outreach for the SARP, not only outreach for applications from developing areas, but also has come up perhaps outreach to people who might want to file objections. There seems to be something missing in this. So while the project started as how come there were so few applications from developing areas? How come there were so few IDN or IDN community applications? What went wrong? And then after we figure out what went wrong, why did it go wrong? And once we know that, we can make recommendations as to how it can be fixed or what can be done to remediate it, you know, et cetera, and not presupposing anything, though there are various theories and suggestions already flying around. So in terms of this project, we started out with several questions. We had an open discussion in Toronto, and we asked, in terms of outreach, was this a... could you click down to the theory formation page? Thanks. So basically, we started doing a theory formation and came up with some suggestions: lack of appropriate outreach, technical capacity, no interest, no business case, timing, no buy-in from local community, the cost of engaging a registry service provider, unnecessary duplication of CCTLDs and IDNCCTLDs. And this is basically a part of the project that that Tijani has been leading, and he wrote a draft paper on it. And we got to a point on it where we said, all well and good, we have a draft paper that sort of lists this, goes into more detail, more discussion. That paper needs more work, but we've put that into the background for now. While, and this was a discussion we had at our last meeting, we put that into the background for now, saying the next step in this, if we could go back a page, please. Sorry, go back to the next part of this, which was after the original theory formation, and we have a basic set of possibilities, was to create to do a general outreach, which of course is one of those reflexes problems. Here we are talking about a problem with outreach, and part of our process is going to be doing outreach. So we may actually learn something about the problem while trying to understand the problem. To do a general outreach, and we talked about doing a questionnaire, starting out with a questionnaire. It was a questionnaire that we had hoped to get out before this meeting and be able to discuss in this meeting, but as I said, we got to the point where there really was too many other things going on at the same time and too many crises and such that we're now at the point of really talking about the questionnaire and how to put it out. And after this meeting, and probably at the meeting on Wednesday, we'll end up realigning the timing on this project to what I thought should happen in this meeting happening in Durban. But I'm not worried about that in this meeting at the moment. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But what we're at the moment is we've got a first bit on the questionnaire starting to be built. Yovie has taken the lead on that particular part of the project. But I also remember asking people from the group who were coming in to perhaps do a little bit of homework and each come in with a question that they thought belonged in a questionnaire and wanted to basically do a little bit of blue skying, of question generation with the group that came here. So, but first I'd actually like to turn things over to Yovie to basically get an update from him, and I'd also like to ask you to take actually the lead in this part of the conversation. So, Yovie.
Thank you, Avery. Yovie speaking. As you said, our expectation is to have a set of questions ready to be discussed during that meeting in Benjin. But as you see, it's not the case. And we are still working on the project, and our expectation is to, during this meeting, to be talking to all of you. And then probably if before the meeting tomorrow we have something we can present so that you have an idea of what you are expecting. Because finally we had an idea, that is idea assumption, but we think that is very important to hear from the diverse group of people why we have this result now. This is why we find this survey very important. To know really the reason of this situation. So at this stage, we are still working on the questionnaire, and then we hope that from after tomorrow meeting, we can have a clear idea of a timeline and what we can do at what time. And especially, we would like to get your contribution. What we'll be doing will be available on the wiki page, and then you are free. You are invited to contribute, to send your idea, and we'll give a deadline for contribution so that we send out this questionnaire as soon as possible and get enough information from everybody from various groups so that we can really know the cause of this situation to find the appropriate solution. This is what I can say for now. Thank you.
Thanks. And I'll probably be coming back to you shortly. So if you notice what was up there, first of all, when we were talking about questionnaires, we were wondering what kind of questionnaire. I don't even know that that's fully decided. Is it open questions where we ask people to write an essay, to answer in a few words? Oh, one thing I forgot. I'm supposed to remind everybody to give their name before they speak. I didn't even give my name before I spoke. I'm Avri Doria. And I apologize for that. I'm not real good at this yet. So we talked about what kind of questionnaire would be. So I'd also like, and I don't know if you and your group have sort of decided what kind. I tend to think it would be a... probably multiple kinds of questions, but I don't know. Whether they were open questions that required some words of answers, whether it was multiple choice, I always hate those because they constrain my choices. So I like multiple choice as long as there's an essay option at the end. And then I have to admit, as a teacher, the only kind of tests I ever write are true and false. But I'm not sure that that's the right case for this, but those are the only kinds of questions I like to write. So I don't know. Do we have any questions already that you know, or really should we walk around and see how people did on their homework assignment? I know what my first question is at the top of a questionnaire. It's a true-false question, which was, did anybody contact you about the opportunity to apply for a community IDN domain? And a second question, true-false after that, you know. In other words, I would frame it as a true question. I was contacted, you know. I decided not to. I was contacted about the support applicant program. I was contacted about the support applicant program in enough time to come up with an application. So those are my type of very basic questions. When I think about what I wanted to put up there, I would have four or five true and false like that, where it's just someone could say they were contacted, they decided not to, and then we could have. Because one of the things you see there on the B2, and I'm sure I'm speaking too quickly, even though no one has told me I am yet, is then follow up on some of the questions. If you look at a questionnaire and it says, I was contacted, and you get a question, the next question that says, I decided not to, then you know that there is further information that you need. Why did you decide not to? There can be questions, but that's also the kind of thing that says, this is a good person to interview. They were contacted, but they decided not to. If you get an answer that says, I was not contacted, there's obviously no more question to ask them, or perhaps there is in terms of a follow-up question like, well, what kind of medium do you follow so that contact would have been possible? If somebody wanted to reach you, how would they reach you? So that's why I look at, and the way, and I have a fairly simple way of thinking about it, I think, is a true-false answer gives us stuff to ask people about. And I think in some ways we get more information in the follow-up interviews that the questionnaire becomes a method of keying in the second part of the conversation of knowing who to approach what way. The other thing I just wanted to point out before we start looking for other people that have questions, and fortunately we will have a transcript so the questions will all be captured even though nobody's necessarily writing them all down, so don't think that they're lost, is then the B2 is, A, how do we distribute this questionnaire to reach the most people? And then B, in terms of interviews, when I and others were looking at this, we have to reach out to these regional groups, to the ALSs, to ISOC chapters who may not be ALSs, to the GAC delegations, to the CCTLDs. Almost every country, almost every region has one if they're local, and then following up from the questionnaire. So I know that I asked the people in the group if to try and come to this meeting with some questions in mind that would sort of help get the discussion going. And of course, I invite anyone else who's not in the group but who's participating in this meeting to sort of introduce yourself, come to the table with a question, and put them in the pile. I very much hope, especially from people who aren't in the group, that your questions, you know, will come from whether you've heard of the outreach, whether you didn't. You'll know the right questions to ask about why you weren't or were reached, why you were or why you did or didn't make a decision, etc. So, from the people in the group first, because hopefully they've got questions on the tips of their tongues. Anybody want to? Thank you, Tijani.
Thank you, Avery. I think that before, Tijani speaking for the transcript. I think that before asking, were you contacted, the best is to ask, have you heard about the program? Have you heard about the support program? Have you heard about the new GTLD program first? And then have you heard about the support program? Because I am sure that a lot of people who would be able to apply didn't heard about the program.
Thank you, Tijani. Yes, Yovi?
Yovi speaking. I completely agree with Tijani on the point that we want to know if people were informed about just the program, were informed. And one key point is also we are not only talking to people we are expecting that will apply. That is very important. We are talking to everybody. So we are thinking to ask the question in the way that it will help us to know that people are informed. We can be in front of people. By being informed, they can also talk to other people who can be the applicant. So that is very important. We are not going to talk only to people who are going to apply for the TLD. We have also users. So one of the questions also we are trying to maybe put is to know if the current strings, if the people are expecting that they will be applying for names under the current string that after the final decision. So this is also one of the questions. This will give us an idea to know that it is useful, this program. We may have users or people that don't care at all if there is new TLD or not. So this will be also one question to measure the importance of this new program. So first is we want to know if people are informed. They are not business people. They are not interested in applying for a TLD, but they are maybe interested to know that there is opportunity for them, for their community, to have a new string in the system. So this is what I want to add for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Actually, that's really quite a good question in terms of what TLD would you like to have seen someone in your community apply for? I was thinking of while you were talking of it. What TLD have you always wished there was if someone had a question like that? Would be questions I see as deriving from yours. Anyone else in the group have a set of questions from the homework assignment of coming here with a question on the tip of your tongue? I can't imagine that you had a question on the tip of your tongue.
Moi?
Right.
Moi?
Please.
And moi, for the transcript record, is Cheryl Langdonor. Look, and the questions that I've heard are excellent. And you've got me thinking about the true-false thing. I haven't gone down that pathway, but I think framing those things could be very interesting. The reason I thought that was very interesting, other than the fact that obviously it's proven effective in the work you do, is I was concerned if we have questions which in themselves may be barriers to understanding, either linguistically or culturally. I'm very aware in our region there may be a number of people we could effectively reach out to, but there would be a discomfort in frank and fearless responses. And I was trying to think of a way of getting through that layer, and perhaps that approach may help. But what I wanted to contribute was whether or not, as part of this surveying, we could also do a personal telecon interaction, because I think there might be a number of communities which we will get deeper and more useful information from if we have a personal touch. And we have enough language skills, I believe, to do that, but I really wanted to put that to the table as an option. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to ask you a question on that. Now, we had always planned on first a questionnaire, then a follow-up interview outreach. Are you suggesting that it would be something that would actually be in parallel?
I'm suggesting that we would miss capture of important information if we didn't include the option for personal interaction in the survey phase.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify. Okay. Okay. Yes. Please.
Just to make sure that Cheryl's words weren't...
Self-introduce, please.
Alan Greenberg. To make sure that Cheryl's words weren't misrepresented, I don't think she was saying interviews instead of the survey. You said surveys, interviews could follow surveys. I still think they should. But there may be people for whom a survey will not be a vehicle for the first interaction, and we need to reach out to them.
Okay, that brings up another question for me, follow up with you. Is this a sort of interview to help somebody do the survey, sort of talk somebody through the survey notion, so that we collect the survey, but we collect the survey by talking to them so that we can explain it, so that we can put it in culturally correct context, so that we can... Is that an idea? So that we get the survey, but we've done verbal outreach to them, so it's actually that.
It could well be that the ones that we get input from verbally, that we do the equivalent of the survey and the follow-up interaction at the same time. But there are certain gaps, either because people are too busy, aren't culturally adapted to doing cold surveys like that, or a language issue, that the personal interaction is a prerequisite to getting contact at all.
Okay, thank you. And as I said, I think part of what we're going to learn in doing our survey is sort of a pattern for how outreach should actually be done just while we're learning how to do an outreach about outreach. Yes, please.
Andrew Mack for the transcript. I think one of the things that we all came up against during this early outreach period was that there isn't one size that fits all, and in fact, we want to use multiple media. I think some people, as you mentioned, both in terms of culture and in terms of practice, there are an awful lot of people who won't respond necessarily to a survey. Much more needs to be done face-to-face. Also, you're assuming if we're going to go with a survey in a more distant kind of thing, we're more likely to get usual suspects. And so if one of our express goals is to get new people into this process that we would otherwise not be reaching, the more direct approach, a more face-to-face approach is probably one that would be more appropriate, I think. And I think that is one of our goals in the end, is to get additional people in.
Yep, thank you. Rinalia.
Thank you. Rinalia Abdurrahim for the record. I'm slightly congested today and having difficulty concentrating, so please bear with me if I'm not clear. In terms of distribution point for the survey, I would suggest getting the IGF as one of the distribution point. Also, consumer organizations, because yesterday we had a panel that had Consumer International on it, on consumer protection related to new GTLDs, and we should get that out through their network. A question and perhaps a suggestion is that one question that was asked is, did you know about this program? And if yes, and so on. But also a question that says, did you hear about it after it was launched? And did you have specific concerns? And what are those concerns? I think that would be valuable for us to get back as feedback. Thank you.
Thank you. I have Tijani, and then I have Evan, and then I have Andrew. Okay, please.
Tijani speaking. I do think that the sequence that we spoke about, which is do the survey and then the interview, I think that we have to stick to this sequence. But at at the level of the interview, we will not limit our interview to the people who answered the survey. That's the way to solve the problem raised by Cheryl. Because I think that the survey will orient more or less, or will help us to do the interview in the best way. Thank you.
Thank you. Evan?
Thanks. Are you talking mainly now about the content of the questions or who this is going to go out to?
We've been talking primarily about the content, but we're mixing it up, and okay. We can, you know, I think all of it is good information, and we'll pull it out of the transcript and put it in the right bucket when we need to. So,
okay. My concern at this point is about sort of the Rumsfeldian unknown unknowns, in that we don't know who. Part of the problem is the people that didn't apply are people that may never have known, and how do we know to even contact them for a survey? So I would try to suggest doing as much as we can to go outside the ICANN bubble. The list there, ALS's ISAC chapters, GAC, CCTLDs, I'm actually curious why NCSG isn't in there. There's a lot of civil society participants who one would think are not part of at-large or not part of the CC community, but would also probably, if not themselves, be involved with applicants who might have benefited, might at least know the communities in which they reside. I'm very cognizant right now of outreach to people that don't know ICANN exists, let alone whether or not deciding whether or not they should be involved. And in terms of things like both the objection process and, as we know previously, applicant support, the turnout numbers really give an idea that people that were in a position or should have been in a position to act on this were not even aware that any of this existed.
Thank you. I don't know why, when I was writing that, it didn't occur to me to list NCSG. It must have blocked on it. Don't have enough to do with that group, so, you know, it just slipped my mind. But one question that came up when you were talking is perhaps one of the questions we need to include to get that next layer out is to ask people that we go to with a questionnaire, who else should we be talking to? Because the one, and if that, we go to the plus one, and then that plus one gives us a plus two, we do start building a greater tree. So that notion. Yes, Andrew.
Further to your excellent point, Avery, I think that one of the big problems that we faced with all of the outreach was the compressed time frame. So that even as people started hearing about it, it was already relatively late in the process. And so if we're trying to get good feedback, I know that it seems a little counterintuitive, but it may be better to leave it open a little bit longer so we can get the value of these plus ones and plus twos. It's just a much better product. I think the shorter our time frame, the more likely we are to get the usual suspects who are very well wired. And then in the end, we're not going to accomplish our goal that way.
Yeah, no, I think you make a really good point that on this project, you know, and we do have time. Nobody's going to start another, you know, remedial or next program until this one is gone. So we do have a certain amount of time to get the work done. So I think that that's a good suggestion to, you know, make sure that we get the questionnaire started soon, but that we don't have to end it soon. Okay, I had Alan next.
Yeah, I'm just reacting to what Tijani said of we have to keep to the order of the survey and the time and then possibly in face-to-face or verbal interactions. I think if we're not careful, we're in danger of making the same mistake that ICANN does in outreach of, you know, presuming that electronic means are the way to communicate with people. And as we're learning now, very often shaking people's hands and going to visit them or something equivalent to that is the way to interact with certain people. And I think we have to be flexible in this.
Yeah. For example, many of us are going to be at various, you know, IGF and IGF-related, and there's WISIS and many other activities where a lot of people that are involved in the Internet throughout the world will be there who are not ICANN people. So, yes, Steph, please.
Thank you, Devananta Lakshmi speaking. One of the things I was trying to capture information on when I was for a presentation at the IGF was to try to capture some information regarding, targeting really businesses and business organizations, which I think needs to be also in the persons that we should be targeting. And the reason how we I was doing it was to say, well, okay, and I also framed it in a context of if they had a domain name, whether they use a CCTLD or a GTLD, which I think is also useful to know, because I think the survey needs to really talk about, you know, how organizations are using domain names now. And then if they heard about the GGTLD program, and then if they did, did you hear about the support program, and did this influence your decision whether to apply or not?
Thank you. Yes, Izumi, using the traditional flag placement method.
My name is Izumi Aiz, for the record. I'm a little bit hesitant to bring this question, but nevertheless, mindful of the time, I'll throw this. Actually, two questions combined. First of all, I really appreciate this initiative. It's very important. Having said that, are we going to ask the question only pertinent to the outreach program or anything related to the GTLD introduction program itself?
Please explain. I don't know what you mean.
Okay. If the purpose of this survey is to evaluate why, let's say, as you started in the first place, it went wrong, as a hypothesis perhaps, or if it's very successful, you don't need this to some degree, right? So assuming that, we see very few applications from the developing countries. We see many applications from a few companies. And I see some imbalance. Some others may not feel like that. But the factors that determine these numbers may not only be the outreach. Of course, there are other elements like high entrance barrier, too complex, there's no interest, or there are different factors all combined. So if you only single out the effectiveness of the ICANN outreach about this program, does it really produce the real result? I'm not too sure. It's okay to focus on very specific things, and you get tangible result on the surface. But is it really deeply meaningful to improve the next round of the GTLD program? That's my meta question. Another question is that depends on the target. If we go to IGF, yes, I do go to IGF, and throw this question into general every participant of the IGF, and they may be responding differently. The real factor is, like in Japan and elsewhere, mostly the would-be registries and the consulting firms try to grab the client, like companies or communities. Hey, there's something called new GTLD program. Are you interested in doing this for the chocolate industry or something like that? There's the in between. And asking the questions to them, how they succeeded in getting the client or not getting into the client, could be another thing. Whether how many of these active players are there in the East Europe or South of Africa, but these questions to the sort of industry sector could be very different from asking more of the policy makers or the civil society folks. So if you just come up with one sort of general questionnaire, it may lose the focus.
Thank you. Rinalia Abdurrahim for the record. A response to Izumi's first point about the imbalance of the application. To my mind, the actual people that we should be talking to about that is the group of applicants. Because by asking them, how did you know about the program? When did you decide to apply? Why did you decide to apply? And if they're willing to share, what resources did you have to expend before you engage officially in the process, then you'd have a good idea about what it is that barrier could be for the external folks. Just a comment. Thank you.
Sure, go ahead.
I would also like to include, It's valid, but I'd like to also include those who considered but didn't apply. And it's highly difficult to. But at the same time, some of the registries may cooperate with you that because maybe they applied 10, but they wanted to have 50. Why did they fail to get other 40s? These are the areas of sort of the potential applicant that didn't come up.
No, it does sound like a recommendation perhaps for and we did have one conversation where there may not be one questionnaire that fit all groupings. One other comment I make before I go to Andrew is it does sound like if you have the chance, you might want to look at getting somewhat involved at some point in the theory formation paper that, you know, goes into some of these ideas. We have – our specific goal is to understand why the outreach didn't work. If we get further information of outreach reached us, but it costs too much, outreach reached us, but those are informations we collect, but that's sort of a secondary outcome of the information gathering. It's not really the focus so much because we're looking at outreach for new GTLD, application for SARP application, and now we're adding, I think, outreach for objection processing. So we're trying to focus on the problem of how do we make sure we're reaching everybody that we've got to reach. In terms of the GTLD program, I'm sure there's a lot of good information we collect that we can use towards other parts of this working group's overall goal, which is an analysis of the rollout program, and we may kick off other projects, but I don't want to complicate this one too much by gathering every bit of information possible. Thanks. Yes, Andrew.
Thanks, Avery. Andrew Mack for the record. I'd like to jump on with this idea of trying to get a clearer sense of the costs involved in participating, because I think that the unknown fact of cost in terms of time and in terms of money is actually a big detriment. If I can't tell you exactly how long it's going to take me and how much money I need to raise or how much I need to have in my head as an idea, that means that I probably won't participate either way and I won't go into more detail. I won't even look into it. So we now have some data. I also think that especially if one of our goals is to attract people from the Global South where there may be a smaller number of people that have more demands for their ICANN time. So if they are our introducers, our vectors of finding new participants, that we need to be fair to them by giving them some clear expectations about their time and about any resources that they would have to try to raise or help encourage their people to raise. And I'm sorry for talking so fast.
Okay, thank you. Now, I wanted to do a time check. We started...
Hi, just a quick reminder. Please state your names before speaking.
Okay. This is Avery Doria again. I wanted to do a time check. We have basically 5 minutes left of the regular time. We did start 15 minutes late. I have no problem with going off into the coffee break, but I just want to make sure that other people don't mind either. I also now wanted to sort of ask, I've heard a lot from working group members. I've heard a little bit from usual suspects that aren't working group members. Heard almost nothing from others. And so from what you've heard, are there questions that we're not even getting close to? Are there approaches that you know we should be doing, but no one's mentioned? Now, one thing no one's mentioned, and I'd like to actually throw this in as an auxiliary question, is how many languages do we need to do this in? Is it the 3? Is it the 5? Is it the 6? Is it the 21? Is it, huh? Isn't 21 something like the EU languages or something? So in other words, there are a lot. Six is the norm. Is that what we're talking? So that's another piece of information that we'd be looking for, but. Does anyone, especially those that haven't, you know, have we missed anything? We must have missed something So what have we missed? Yes, please.
Thank you, Avery. My name is Fatimata Afralo. It's not maybe something you're missing, but it's a question I have, and I just kept thinking about it. Because I read about the rejection of some applicants who applied for the applicant support. And they were very frustrated. And those people, I mean, they read about the applicant support and everything, but still they didn't make it. How come?
They didn't make it to apply.
No, they applied.
They applied, but they didn't.
Yeah. They didn't.
They didn't get it. I don't know that that is actually in our scope. I think it's a really good question, but I don't.
Yeah.
I think it's a good. It might be a good question for the working group, but it's not part of this project. But I should record it as part of the working group.
I would like to join Usumi's comment. How come in the outreach program people don't know about this applicant support provision?
You mean in the original outreach about new GTLDs?
Yes, about new GTLDs.
Okay. I kind of know the answer to that one. Is we were still in the process. When they started the program, we didn't have this yet, and it took us all.
So
we spent 2 years.
Yeah. So that's something we should be thinking about.
Yes, we should. And indeed, that's one of the faults I think we know of from the start, is that an applicant support program wasn't already designed
at the same
point as the new GTLD program. It took us an extra year and a half to get that going, which was insane.
Agree. So you just, I mean, your aim is just to say what went wrong and not suggesting something to improve for the next fix.
Right. I think there's two parts.
Okay.
At the moment, in terms of this particular, and as there's the working group that has several different projects, I think in this part of this project, and that's why I'm trying to keep the project sort of narrow and collect information. In terms of going forward, that is indeed a task that the working group, the at-large new GTLD working group, can certainly take up in terms of, you know, how to do better in the future. And so what I think as a secondary effect of the outreach questions, we'll start collecting the information that Izumi's looking for and that you're looking for, and that we'll be able to use that to start making recommendations about other things and perhaps to start other sub-projects in the group to say, aha, we have seen these answers. How do we follow up on this problem further? So I think it's valuable, but I also do want to keep the questionnaire in terms of outreach narrow because, like the new GTLD program, we could end up trying to boil the ocean and not get anything done. But I agree, there's a lot to discover. Thank you. Other comments from those who haven't spoken yet? No? Okay. We've certainly gotten a lot of questions. I guess, Yovi, you and Sintra and Jacqueline, I don't know how active the subgroup is, and of course others. Part of all of this is a working group, this is an ongoing working group, new participation in this working group is invited, is encouraged. There's so many tasks for us to do in terms of evaluating this program, whether it's this outreach, and you can come to the meeting tomorrow to look at some of the other issues we're looking at. So I want to encourage anyone that's here as a watcher that this is definitely an opportunity for jumping into something that's got all kinds of good questions to talk about and all kinds of important results to achieve in terms of we know that there'll be future rounds. We want those future rounds to fix whatever we discover from this round. So, yes, Tijani.
Thank you, Avri. Tijani speaking. You asked Yovi how the group he is leading is active. I can tell you that the group I am leading is not active at all. Zero. And it is a big problem for me because since I had hard times this last month, nothing have been done, even if what I produced was on the wiki since long. No comment, no contribution. Thank you.
Thank you. And Yovi, I have the feeling that you've probably been working pretty much alone too. Yes?
Yeah. I think this is an opportunity to call for participation. So what I can say is that we should just continue, and I hope that people will join the group and will have more contribution for the work. I just want to take the opportunity to say that from what people said, the next IDF, something special should be done there because of the diversity of participants. But it's like too late because I think there is something special should be planned so that we get information from the various participants at IDF. If it's not too late, we can think about what can be done or take opportunity of people will be there to get something done from this project.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I want to encourage what they're saying in terms of more people getting involved. At large, ALAC has the same problem that so much of ICANN has. Hundreds of people participate, but three or four people are really the ones that jump in and get hands dirty, and you see the same people over and over again doing the work. And I'm one of those that's constantly attacking senior staff and board and those about, you know, you're not being bottom-up enough. But then again, if we at the bottom aren't doing anything, one can hardly criticize them for not following through with our work. Yes, please, Jean-Jacques.
This is Jean-Jacques Subrenin. I'd offer a general remark. It's not only about the application system or about IDNs. It's a much more general remark. The experience I gained in setting up and chairing the, what was it called, Public Participation Committee of the board gave me a clear sense of what the issue is about. It's about engaging people to participate very actively, but one must recognize and accept that there are all degrees of participation. From people who arrive for the first time in an ICANN meeting and just want to know what it's all about. And, you know, it takes a few hours for the clever ones to know all the acronyms and understand them. And it took, in my case, 2 years to understand half of them. So that's part of the problem. But I want to inject here a statement or a sense that there is no obligation either way. It's really about volunteer work. So you shouldn't give the impression, Avery, that you are disappointed in a way that the level of active participation is so low. It's quite a natural phenomenon. For instance, the degree of engagement you give, and many of us give, is the uppermost echelon. But we have to provide, that's our duty, it's to provide the possibility simply for the whole range of participation, from simply listening in to being very active in all the committees. I say this addressing myself to you, Avery, but of course you're not my main target. Yes, my main target is the people in the room some of whom have come here for the first time. So don't be distressed or discouraged by this. This is the early learning stage of a long process.
Thank you for the normative statement. I actually reject it. I believe that, sure, everyone has the right to participate to the extent that they wish to, and being an observer is perfectly fine, and not doing any further is perfectly within everyone's rights, and I wouldn't. However, I also believe it is totally appropriate for those of us that are very engaged to try and encourage others to participate, to tell them, hey, this is an easy group to get involved in, to start participating in, to throw in questions, to throw in whatever. So I don't condemn anyone for just listening and observing. I welcome people for the first time, but I do believe it is the responsibility of those of us that are very active and see reasons for being very active to push them. To push them into supporting the bottom-up notion and getting involved and getting their hands dirty with the rest of us. So I understand what you're saying. I don't think anyone will walk away saying, oh my, I feel guilty that I didn't volunteer for anyone. But if anyone did feel guilty about not volunteering, I'd hope they volunteer to get over it.
This is Jean-Jacques. I see no contradiction between the position I stated and your reminder. I mean, it's just two ends of the same chain.
Anyhow, I encourage you all to get involved. I encourage you all to come to our next meeting, where I'll probably try to harass you into participating again. And at that meeting, we'll cover this subject briefly, just to sort of report on where we're at, and then look at some of the other work that's being done by the group. Anything I've forgotten to tell about? I started out at the beginning saying it. It is the at-large new GTLD working group, of which this is a sub-project. It is tomorrow. It is in room 8, I believe. Yeah, and it is at 1600 or 4 o'clock for them that don't do 24. With that, anyone else wish to add anything else? Already went 10 minutes into your coffee break. I thank you all, and this meeting is closed. Thank you.
Okay, just a little bit of housekeeping. There is a coffee break just immediately outside to your right. Coffee and